Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, talking all things cricket, from club cricket to million-pound franchises to the Test Match Arena, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket. India are back to being good. The Indian century, it continues. And we're back again with another podcast, a Down at Third Man podcast, to talk it through. But tonight's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be short. It's going to be sweet because Aidan Jono sadly couldn't join me tonight. We couldn't even get Super Sub Mounty in because his train's been cancelled. So you guys are unluckily stuck with me for the next few minutes. So if you can be bothered to listen on, please enjoy as much as you can. If you can't be bothered, I don't blame you. And we'll be back next week with a proper podcast with hopefully all the boys on, or if not, at least a couple of guests to fill in as Super Subs for them. We'll have a little message now from Woodstock Cricket, our supporters, and then I'll be back after to quickly go through all that's gone on in the world of cricket this week.
Looking for a new cricket equipment partner for yourself or your club can sometimes be tricky with so many options to choose from. How do you make the right choice? When you want quality, value and service, there really is only one place to start. For more than a decade, Woodstock Cricket have been producing award-winning, high-performance cricket bats from their Shropshire workshop. Matched with their classy soft goods, luggage and accessories, Woodstock Cricket really do tick all the boxes. Get in touch with Woodstock Cricket and find out why many loyal clubs, players and international customers can't be wrong at info@woodstockcricket.co.uk.
It's been a busy week in the world of cricket, as expected. England lost to India in the fourth test at the Oval. Not the result England were hoping for after getting India 190 all out. England have only got a lead of 99, and it just wasn't to be at all for England after that point. India turned it on. Big innings, over 400, up on the board. Thanks mainly to Rohit Sharma with a ton, and Shardul Thakur, yet another 50 for him in both innings. And England just couldn't chase down the 368. They managed 210 before being all out. And that was despite being 100 for none. So not good from England at all. I think it's fair to say that Thakur and Sharma were probably the two main men and probably battled it out for man of the match. I think Sharma won it officially, but most people, I think, would have maybe gone with Shardul Thakur after 250s and a good little bit of bowling as well in there. Are India great? Are England bad? I think it's maybe a little bit of a mix of both. England don't seem to quite have that quality to see out matches. Missing Stokes and Archer, I think you'd be fair to say. Looking at India, good team. Still don't think they're the best team in the world. Still back in New Zealand, consistency-wise. But India have got that bit of quality, have got them players, and have got that mindset where they feel they can win every game, no matter the position. And it makes a big, big difference. And it's shown that they have been too good for England. Obviously, though, there's one more test to go. Fifth test. It looks like it's going to go ahead. India have obviously had a few support staff with COVID. But PCR tests have come back for the players. They're all negative. And after worries earlier that maybe India would be happy to call the game off so they could get back for the IPL and talk of England demanding a forfeit so that the series was a draw, it's going to go ahead. And it's going to be an interesting one. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the final test at Old Trafford. England have brought Butler and Leach back into the squad. Billings has dropped out. Butler, he'll be vice-captain, he'll be having the gloves. And according to the skipper route, he says that Moeen Ali is the number one spinner. And so you'd assume Moeen Ali would be playing. So it's going to be a tough one. There seems to be a suggestion that Pope will get the job over Bairstow at five. And then it seems like Butler will come in at six and Moeen will keep his place at seven. And then it's down to who you pick in the seam. As you'd imagine, Chris Wokes, as long as fit, will be in after a good display in the last match. But you never really know. You'd expect Wood to come in for that extra bit of pace. And maybe Leach will come in as a second spinner. Personally, I'd be looking at bringing Leach in. Whether I'd keep Moeen in as well, those are another question altogether. I personally would like to see Chris Wokes moved up to number seven. If we're going to go with that, because at the end of the day, Chris Wokes' record with bat and ball is possibly the best in England of any all-rounder England have ever had. Pretty sure it's better than Stokes, Flintoff, Botham, So bat the man, put him at 7 as a proper all-rounder, or put him in at 8, go with one less seam bowler, still keep Leach in there, go with the fact that 3 seamers, 1 spinner, plus Joe Root might be enough, and you maybe add a bit more to the batting, but that's possibly a bit of a negative mindset. Your top 6 with Wokes at 7 for me should really be enough, but we'll soon see tomorrow. Hopefully England pull off a shot victory to at least get the draw. But it will be the first ever summer, well, first summer since 2001, 20 years ago, since that England haven't won a series in their summer. Looking ahead a bit further later into the year, lots of T20 World Cup squads have been announced. England was announced. A few surprises possibly, but I think really in the end it's maybe come out as many fans would have expected, even if they don't necessarily agree with it. Looking at England, obviously Morgan's captain, Moeen Ali, Johnny Bairstow, Sam Billings, Joss Butler, Sam Curran, Chris Jordan, Liam Livingston, David Milan, Timal Mills, Adil Rashid, Jason Roy, David Willey, Chris Wokes and Mark Wood. Basically, Ben Stokes, it looks like, won't be playing cricket again this year, won't be going to the World Cup. Tom Curran's been cut from the squad, but he is one of the reserves alongside Liam Dawson and James Vince. Wokes makes the squad despite having played not many T20 matches. And then, almost as expected, following Archer's dropout through injury, Timal Mills, his late bolter, he's into the squad after doing really well in the 100 and, of course, the blast. And so the left armour, the best death bowler in the world statistically, he is in the squad. I think a few people may be a little bit surprised to not see Matt Parkinson and see us going with only one spinner when you look at, I think India's gone with 4 or 5 spinners. But when you look at the IPL that was in the UAE recently, it favoured the fast bowlers. It wasn't a spin bowler's paradise. Yes, we all know that ITC are in charge of pitches, and yes, we basically know that means the BCCI are. And let's be honest, when you've got such a divide there, clearly one team is going to look a little bit silly, or is likely to look a little bit silly when there's such a difference in the number of spinners to seamers. I think it'll be an interesting one. I don't necessarily think England have got it wrong. If they were allowed a bigger squad and they say you could have 17 or 18, don't get me wrong, I'd be adding James Vince in there and I'd be adding Matt Parkinson in there. But as it is, the game with 15, and so I can't disagree really with that 15, if I'm honest. I'm sure a few people will, though. I'm sure some might have wanted to see Tom Curran stay in. If I was to give out a dark horse, it'd be our friend Benny Howell. I think I'd rather see him than Tom Curran, but, you know, it doesn't always quite work like that. So, England, there'll be lots of talk, I'm sure, and I'm sure we'll talk about it and do it to death in the next couple of months as we wait for the run-up of the World Cup that starts, obviously, sort of later on in October. I'm sure we'll talk a lot about the starting 11, so I'll leave that for now. Just a quick look around some of the other cricketing news. 2022 summer, England's fixtures announced. They'll be playing New Zealand, India and South Africa. Get yourselves registered now if you want tickets. Always a good idea to get in there early, try and get in the ballots and stuff, to try and get yourselves those tickets because you don't want anyone missing out. And a couple more Big Bash signings. One of the ones that stood out is obviously Ben Duckett has signed for Brisbane Heat, so he'll be having his first proper taste of the Big Bash. There's also, of course, been cricket going on around the world. We've had Bangladesh versus New Zealand's been continuing. Obviously, there's been some quite dodgy pitches, I think it's fair to say, out there, making it quite interesting scores. I think that's a fair way of putting it. There's also been Sri Lanka had a series as also against South Africa, with them winning that series. So well done to Sri Lanka. And a bit of news about a future series coming up. Australia versus Afghanistan. The one test match before the Ashes. Looking very, very unlikely, as Australia have said. It won't go ahead unless the Taliban allow Afghanistan's women's team to continue to play cricket. And I think we all know that's sadly very, very unlikely. Just another comment on Afghanistan. They have announced their T20 World Cup squad. Announced Rashid Khan as captain, and within minutes he had resigned as captain because he hadn't been spoken to or given any say, apparently, on that selection and didn't know it until it was announced publicly. So, some interesting goings-on, I guess, there with the Afghanistan team and everything that's going on over there. And I think everyone would be pretty obvious to just say that they hope it all works out in terms of safety for obviously people like Rashid Khan, the other players like Mohamed Nabi, etc., and their families. Having a little look elsewhere at the cricket, of course, in the UK, it's been all about the county championship at the moment. Lots of county championship action going on, and to be fair, there's been some surprise results again. So Yorkshire absolutely hammered Somerset one by over an innings within just a couple of days. Hampshire got a big win at Warwickshire. Nottinghamshire got a big win at home against Lancashire. Going into Div 2, Northants were victorious, Kent were victorious, and so were Essex and also Durham. And then down in Div 3, there was a draw between Derbyshire and Leicestershire, a win for Middlesex as well. Means that going into the sort of the next lot of games, the next few games, we are then left with Nottinghamshire at the top of the table in Div 1, followed by Hampshire and Yorkshire, according to my table. Somerset down at the bottom after two losses. You've then got in Div 2, Essex at the top. So Essex leading the way at the moment on points per game. And it's then Durham, followed by Northants and Gloucestershire. And then in the bottom division, it's currently Middlesex top, followed by Kent. And really, that is it for the world of cricket, without going into loads of opinions and boring you what I think. So we're going to have a little break now, and we're going to put in a little clip here of from Dave Hughes, as I spoke about earlier, Dan Hughes' dad. Obviously, Dan sadly lost his life when he was quite young, and Dave and family now raise lots of money for cardiac risk in the young, who scans on your heart to check that basically young adults are safe, are okay, and to pick up on anything that might affect you in later life. So have a little listen to Dave and to what Dave has to say. Big event coming up in the parish in the coming weekend on Sunday. It'll be down at Wood Lane. It's all the usual stuff going on. I'm sure Johnny will be there. He's going to be giving away, selling, collecting donations for our stickers. Also going on, there'll be a raffle. One of the prizes is a £30 Woodstock voucher donated by us guys. So make sure you enter the raffle, just to obviously show your support. And then you might get yourself a good little voucher to get yourself a treat from Woodstock. Obviously, as we always say, best stuff around, best kit around. So make sure you enter that. And as always, there'll be plenty of stuff going on as part of the day. I'm sure there'll be barbecues on, there'll be cricket going on. So please take advantage of that day. Please go and support Cardiac Risk in the Young. They're a great, great charity. Dave wasn't available. We had a few technical difficulties. But welcome back, and it's time for the centre of all things cricket. Time to get into some North Staff's action. Going to try and keep it brief. Going to try and keep it nice and quick. We'll start off in the Prem as always. Longton got a big victory over Ashcombe Park. Ashcombe Park 136 all out. Longton 138 for 5. Chased it down. Main contributions there quickly. 4 wickets for Sean Rashid and 3 for Ed Jones. And then for Longton, 47 from Joe Abbott with a bat not out. And 42 not out from Dave Wealdon there. Bagnall got a big win against Burslem. I guess you could almost call it a bit of a local derby if you want to stretch it out a little bit. Burslem 1-6-3 all out, despite 68 there for Saad Qureshi and 35 for Zen Malik. 3 wickets coming for Bilawal Bhatti there. Bagnall knocked it off 1-6-4-6 and just in time, 48.4 overs, 35 for Alex Gray and 49 out for the skipper, Justin Mould or Wormo, as you may know him. There was a draw between Meekins and Cheadle. Cheadle in the end holding on here. Meekins 221 all out. 46 for Carl High and 58 from Pete Wilshaw, as well as 37 for Simon Garver, the key contributions. But it was all about one man really at this game. Matt Goodwin, trigger as you may well know him, 7 for 32 while bowling. And then Cheadle held on 200. For 9, they were off their 52 overs. They held on for the draw, and that included 63 from Trigger himself, as well as 38 from Dale Heath. and then Will Dobby and James Jackson saw it out for the draw. Checkley got a big win over Port Hill. Checkley decided to bat first after winning a toss. 2-5-1 for 6. 8-8 Tom Moulton. 42 Andy Carr. 79 from James Kettleborough. Put a big total up on the board and Port Hill couldn't chase it. Didn't start well for him. Sadly, Johnny Hancock, first bowler. Then his opening partner, Tom Longworth, got an 8th ball duck as well. Ben Cotton tried his best with 37, but it was all about Checkley. 3 wickets from Mitch Cooper and 2 each from Niall Lovett, Tom Moulton and Seb Smith. As Checkley took home the majority of the points, Leek got a massive win against Stone at the bottom of the table. They managed to bat first and put 2-3-9 for 7 declared on Alex Mallow, the main man, the skipper there, 1-2-4 off 140 balls. Only 3 other people actually got into double figures there, so that tells you how much he did, and no one actually got more than 23, other than Alex Mallow, who got 1-2-4. And then Stone could only manage 105, a quarter for 9 in reply, 44 for Ben Motley. But yeah, other than Ben Motley, there was only one person to make double figures, and extras actually was the second top scorer, so well-batted extras with 20 there, 3 wickets there for Roy Hayden and 3 for Alex Thompson. And then the last but not least in the Prem, Modishaw got a big win against Whitmore, another result that will be big at the bottom end of the table, 2-4-4 for 9 there, Sam Kalsall 36, Rizwan Hussain 99, bare jug of Asian there, wickets coming for 2 there for Adil Arshad and then the rest shared around. Whitmore couldn't do it, 111 all out despite 62 from Mohammed Akib, but she came off 124 balls, so well played to that man. He tried to hold him up and tried his best for him, but 5 wickets from Dan Richardson plus 3 from Dan Colclough led Modishaw to victory. So having a quick look at the table in the Premier Division and Top Division, still all to play for amongst quite a lot of the teams. Meekins are top by 15 points over Longton, and then Port Hill and further 6 points behind, and then Checkley 10 points behind that. Bottom of the table, Ashcombe Park, more or less, I think, in fact, may well even be down now in 154. Whitmore, second from bottom, 180, but Leek's big win takes them out of the relegation zone on 192, and Modishaw and Alton are nice and safe on 215, and Stone 217 also safe. So big lot of results there, and with 2 weekends to go, lots to play for in the Prem. We're going to rattle through Div 1, Div 2 and Div 3, because I'm sure you're all bored of my voice by now. Knipes have got a big win over Alworth, winning by 45 runs. Alworth only needed so many points, I think, to go up, but didn't manage it. Knipes elite, posting 144 for 8, Alworth 99 all out. Endon won by 6 wickets against Eccleshall, were 174 all out. Endon knocked it off 176-4. Hemheath got a big win against Blyth. Hemheath 265-6 declared. Blyth 186 all out. Leasit won against Wood Lane. Leasit posting 261 for 5 declared. Quite a few declarations this week. Wood Lane 135 all out. Big win for Littlestoke. Orderly were 184 all out, and Littlestoke managed to knock it off 188 for 7. And then Newcastle and Hartsdale won by 113 runs. They were 235 for 5 declared. Sandiford 122 all out. Having a little look at the Division 1 table and what that mean, them results mean. Hemheath now go top by 3 points, Alworth in second, but they're still miles ahead really of Knipesley. In fact, I believe they're both Hemheath and Alworth are probably up looking at those, at the distance between them. Looking down the bottom end of the table, Littlestoke look like they're still probably going to go down, but they're catching up, they're getting closer. Blyth are second from bottom with 181, and then just above Sandiford with 193, and Leasit, I believe this is the average points sort of almost guess at the moment, is 196.75. So there's still hope there for Blyth, but it's going to take 2 big results, you would imagine, now to overtake them teams. Into Div 2. So Div 2, again, plenty of action and also plenty of teams still with something to play for, which always makes it more interesting. All Sage won by 97 runs. They posted 174 for 6. Stafford just 77 all out. Oakmore won by 86 runs. Barleston have been on a poor run of form. They could only restrict Oakmore to 210 all out of 40 overs. And then Barleston found themselves 124 all out. Cavers or Sandbats. Now, if you want to go and watch some highlights with some interesting umpiring decisions, this is one place I would go to on the highlight reel. Cavers were 148 for 9 off their overs. Sandbats 60 all out. And there was some interesting decisions made there by the umpires, I think it's fair to say, for the last few wickets for certain anyway. Port Hill now the next result actually is quite an interesting one. So Mia Heath actually in the game went and beat Port Hill Park. Now Mia Heath had a sub-pro friend of the pod, Benny Owley, put out a bit of a plea, wanted a game of cricket. So Mia Heath signed him up, and Mia Heath went and posted 229 all out, thanks mainly to Benny Howell with 98 from 69 balls, as well as 40 from Arsan Javed, and 29 from Brandon Hughes-Philpott. Port Hill were then 102, I think it was, all out. Benny didn't take any wickets. He bowled 6 overs for just 8 runs. 4 wickets for Ollie Edwards, 3 for Hughes-Philpott, and 2 for Anwar Hussain. He got what looked like a big win. However, it became clear early this week that actually Benny Howell wasn't eligible, despite what certain members of Mia Heath were led to believe actually he wasn't. Nothing wrong on Benny's fault. It was nothing to do with him. Sadly, some people at Mia Heath thought they maybe could, got away with it, could have got him in, but sadly it wasn't. So they've had their points taken off them, and it appears Port Hill have had the points instead. So Mia Heath have got no points, which means they are relegated. The boys, Big Len, got a winning draw. They posted 227 for 5 from their overs. 37 from Jono, mention that for him. Sammy Zarouf, 76, not out. I'm sure Aid will be love to tell people that he got 7 off 5, so at least he's above his 100 strike rate. Road Park were 209 for 7, 58 from Martin Dawson there, 41 from Ollie Gallimore, 37 from Richard Beverton, 42 from John Gallimore. Made it so that it looked like they were going to win, but no, ended up being a draw with 3 there for Peaky. Norton and Ailes won, and so with it gained promotion. Silverdale 78 all out, Norton and Ailes 84 for 3, knocked it off with ease. So we'll have a quick look into Division 2 table. Division 2, Norton and Ailes, top of the league, promoted, all sorted. Sandbats in second, ahead of Silverdale by just over 20 points. You would think now they would be more or less up, but obviously it all comes down to average points as well, so still a little bit of something to play for there. Bottom end of the table, Miri for down. It's then Stafford, who are on 193, who are just in the relegation zone. Just ahead, Road Park on 202. Then Barleston on 206. And then Big Lend will probably start to feel like they're almost safe now because they are up on 217. And that leads us last but not least into the Division 3. I'll just literally rattle through who won in Div 3 for you and then get straight into the table, so that we can wrap this up soon, because I'm sure you're all fed up with my monotone Stokey voice. Audley 2s beat Crewe. Eccleshall 2s beat Wedgwood. Checkley 2s beat Hanford. Cheadle 2s beat Meekins. Longton 2s beat Hemheath. And then Modishall 2s beat Stone SP. That means to the table, it's not really good news for moi. But looking at the table now in Div 3, Mod and Alton are, I think, basically up there. They're top of the league with 333 points. Second and nearly there, Stone 2s with 295. And then Checkley in third, and Longton in fourth with 279, 272. Are probably now feeling like they're out of the hunt. Or Checkley maybe hopeful that they could get to Stone. Bottom of the table is Audley. They're looking like they're down really now with 166. Wedgwood second from bottom with 188. And then Crewe starting to try and pull away a little bit from the bottom there, 199. So lots to play for still. Lots of opportunities for clubs to save themselves or to get themselves promoted. Obviously, that isn't all that happened in North Staff. We do have the Cups. So there was lots of stuff been going on in sort of the last few, this last weekend. In the Talbot Cup, there was a victory for Cheadle in that. Cheadle won the toss, elected to bat, were 164 all out, but they won by 25 runs as Burson were 139 all out. So well done there to Cheadle on that victory. Good performance from them. Unlucky to Burson, who finished in second. And then on the Sunday, we had the T20 plate final between Sandbach Ones and Big Lend. Sandbach came out victors. Big well done to Sandbach there. I think Big Lend lads would all say that Sandbach were deserving winners, played better cricket on the day and deserved that win. And then we had, obviously, the Barney McCardle after that between Sandbach, who'd won the plate, and, obviously, Longton, who'd won the cup a couple of weeks before. And Longton came out on top in the Barney McCardle Trophy. So there's lots of good performances, but the winner of the Star of the Weekend this week was Andy Coxon of Cheadle after his performance in the final. So a big well done to Andy Coxon on that. Other people who were up for that, unsurprisingly, we had Trigger, who was up there for it after his performance, Benny Howell, and also Ash Guest of Wood Lane, who deserves a little shout out because great effort for Wood Lane Twos. He managed to score 138 off just 84 balls, and that is a fair effort when they only scored 170 odd. So well done to Ash Guest, probably a little bit unlucky there to not come away with Start of the Weekend. Right then, big weekend ahead. I hope everyone out there goes well in it. Obviously, lots to play for, relegation, promotion. So best of luck to you with it. We'll obviously be back next week to recap it and previewing what will no doubt be an absolutely huge final weekend of the North Staff season. And then after that, the week after, we'll be looking to do a bit of an end of season pro podcast. Hopefully get a couple of people on, locals who have been involved, whether that's in the top divisions or a bit lower down, maybe even get Travis back on. So we'll do a little bit of an end of season program, a few end of season awards. So have a little think, guys, about people you'd like to hear on the show, awards you'd like us to maybe give out, both good and bad, because we will be looking to do an end of season show before we have probably a little bit of a break before we start nailing on with the podcast as it comes to T20 World Cup time, and of course then the Ashes, assuming, touch wood, that it goes ahead. But that's going to be it for tonight, guys. Don't want to bore you anymore with my voice, but want to get a podcast out to obviously talk all about sort of the Dan Hughes Day down at Wood Lane so that you guys can go and support it. Big thanks to Dave for his words that we've been able to include, so that you guys can know a little bit more, because obviously he speaks much better about it than me or Johnny or Aid ever would. But yeah, thanks as always for listening. Go and check out our supporters, Woodstock. They are the best guys around in kit. Of course, you can win yourself a voucher as well on Sunday for Woodstock. So have a look at what you want. You want to get off there, go and win yourself the raffle and job's done. Obviously, go and support Cardiac Risk and the Young on Sunday. Get yourself a bat sticker, enter the raffle, buy burgers, buy some beer. Make the most of what I'm sure will be a great Sunday down at Wood Lane and in the park. And then please follow and subscribe to us and review us. Obviously, the more you guys support us, the more chance there is of us carrying this on past this season and carrying on into next season and on into the future. So if you enjoyed it, if you want us to keep going with it, please follow, subscribe, review, share it. Let us know that you'd actually like us to carry on and not just give it up after this season. And we'll be back next week. Hopefully we might have a guest or two. We're going to hopefully try and get Benny back on soon to talk about his weekend in North Staff's cricket. And we'll be back next week, hopefully, with all the boys back to properly review the series and look ahead to that last weekend in North Staff's action. Go wild, guys. Enjoy the rest of your week. Cheers.
Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.